You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to gather in fellowship. We ask that you would speak through what is said here and heard here, and that your will might be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So, fellowship and gathering, I think, is the title for this session, and it's the easiest one because it's kind of one sentence. We gather to do all the things that you've learned in the last 5 weeks. So, see you later. No, just kidding. So the first thing I would say about that, though, is that we're talking about fellowship and gathering. We're talking about the church, and we're talking about in this case the Advent. And the church is a very imperfect thing. It's then publicly they're very toxic things that happen in churches and because of churches in throughout history. But that's because it's made up of imperfect people. So this is not intended to be prideful or defensive about the church or about the Advent. It's about how we here believe that fellowship and gathering flows from the gospel, and what the Bible says about it. So that's our context. Not to say we're good at these things, but to say what we aspire to do and why. As I said, it's just doing together everything we've talked about. And most importantly, we gather to proclaim and hear the gospel over and over, and that's really one of the things that I think for me is so good about this place is that some people say, well, you just say the same thing over and over every time every Sunday I come, it's the same thing. But I need to hear it every week, and at least every week, and I need to have the opportunity and encouragement and structure for the repentance that Rita Wright talked about the first time. Most importantly, for the resulting forgiveness that comes when you repent and believe the gospel. And so in that process, our faith is created and deepened, and we have administered to us and received the sacraments of holy baptism and communion that we talked about. So really, this really is the idea that the things that we've talked about occur in community, and this is the community where that happens, and it's our fellowship and gathering is the context for that. So let's read a little bit of scripture, Matthew 18:20, and last week, I guess we had races to see who could get things first and give the page number, and Fontaine always won. So I think we're on 480, 481. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. So this is an affirmation of the deity and omnipotence of God, and the fact that He interacts with us here in whatever however small the gathering is, his desire for us and His will for us is that He connect with us when we get together, even two, and think about Him and look toward Him. And then Hebrews 10:23-25. And that's 584, I believe. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So a couple of a few ideas here. Holding fast, which means keeping at the center, keeping at the basis of what we do. And what do we hold fast? The confession of our hope. So we're here to hope together, really. We're not here to hopeful gossip. we're not here to tell each other what they're doing wrong or what they need to do right. Necessarily, we're here to hope and claim the hope that's in us and remind ourselves of the hope that we have. Our confession, which is the gospel, and that's where the hope comes from. And then meeting to encourage. So we need each other. And talk about that a little bit below. You know, it's not that you can't find God in nature by yourself or on the golf course by yourself or wherever, but the mutual encouragement that we can give each other, just being, for me at least, you know, being with other people, doesn't even have to be interactive. I don't have to talk to them. But the fact that we're all here together, taking communion, listening to the gospel, you know, whatever, is encouraging. There are other people that need what I need, and are finding it here. And then the day drawing near. So there's an urgency here. It's not, well, let's, you know, there's something maybe that's there, but it's that I need it. I have to have it. And if I'm not here, I miss it. So this is, as I mentioned, this is descriptive. So, you know, this is not, if you don't do this, you're not the church, or if you don't do this, you've lost your salvation. This is what God calls us to and what God wants for us. And so why do we do it in community? So we hear together, and that we hear it together empowers us to do what we do together, and what we hear together is the gospel, and that's a perspective we don't get in the world. So how is it not what the world says? Well, first of all, there's a low anthropology, which is a phrase coined by Dave Zoll in a book. So Paul Zoll, who was the dean here and who now attends here, one of his sons, Dave, wrote a book called Low Anthropology, and the idea is that there is peace and hope when we realize that not only do we mess up all the time, but everyone else does too. So we get out of our judgment, we get out of ourselves, and we look to God for our purpose and our salvation, and we don't have the despair of not measuring up because no one else measures up, and we also don't have the self-righteousness of thinking that we're better than everybody else because we're not. Then there's the vulnerability. So when we realize that in a community, then that community is a safe place to be vulnerable, because we acknowledge and actually we celebrate our dependence upon God together and our confidence that He's the perfect answer to our brokenness and our sin, both individually and as a community and as a world, as a race. So Craig Smalley, our dean, one of his big themes is the idea in the narratives of the feeding of the 5,000. At the end, Jesus says to gather the broken fragments that nothing may be wasted. So we are the broken fragments, and so God is gathering us up in the church that we might be saved and encouraged. Side note on that, I don't know if you all, any of you have heard of Mockingbird, which is it's a website. Again, Dave Zoll was the creator of it. But last year, he also goes to on staff at a church in Charlottesville, Virginia. So, and he had a Sunday school class series that entitled Things You Won't Hear Anywhere But Church. And the titles of the sessions were the following: Advertise Your Hypocrisy, Blame Belongs with the Blame Shifters, Pray for a Nervous Breakdown, Blessed Are the Type Bs, Doormats Are Holy, Hug a Telemarketer, and Your Life is None of Your Business. So those are things you won't hear in the world, but you hear in church, at least you hear here, you hear things like that because they remind you of your need for God, and they remind you, most importantly, of what God did for you, has already done for you, and that you don't have to do any of it yourself, with respect to your salvation, your peace, and your hope for the future. So hearing that in community with other people and allows you to be vulnerable, us to be vulnerable with each other and encourage one another, and not simply judge ourselves or the world or each other and think that we're better than others because we come to church. Any comments on any of that? Pushback on any of that? And I think, you know, again, this is not, it's hard to tell people, like your children, something like this and have them not receive it as judgment, but you know, if I don't go to church, then I kind of start forgetting to go to church, and I very subtly don't hear what I need to hear about who I am and who God is, and that's good news. And so I become less and less tuned in without even knowing it to that good news. And so it's hard to explain to somebody that they should go to church because you want them to hear the good news that they don't hear anywhere else. But it's true. So, and that's because of the community, and God gave us that. He did not intend for us to try to focus on Him in our own strength. Of course, we can't do that. He draws us to Himself. But one of the ways He does that is by connecting, is by His intent that we connect in the community. So, I don't know who all was in the service in the assembly hall this morning, but I should just play the sermon. But two things. The first thing is that Dean Pinter's sermon, of course, Dean is his name. We have Dean Smalley and Vice Dean Murray, and then we have a canon named Dean Pinter. So it's very confusing. His sermon, he said that the passage in Ephesians where Paul talks about us being God's workmanship. Apparently, that word in Greek is poema, which is the same word as poem. So we are God's poem. And that is not only individually, but together as the community of the church, and that's a beautiful thing. And his point there was that poems are intentional, and they're not made hastily, and they're not made without love. And then the other thing, where the songs we sang was. Even if you weren't there, you might know, we will feast in the house of Zion. So the we is the church, and we will sing with our hearts restored. So we've heard the gospel. He has done great things. We will say together. So we are praising God for what He's done, and we will feast and weep no more. So we're encouraged, and we're hopeful for the future. So anyway, those are just examples about how, as a community and gathering and fellowship, we hear what we need to hear, and we can encourage each other just by being together, and also when led, you know, by actually fellowshipping and speaking with one another. So how do we do that? What do we do in community? So our worship services, our liturgy, it collects. So in fact, the reason the prayer, one of the prayers we say every week is called a collect, is because it collects an important theme and focuses on us praying it together. And the other thing that prayer book worship does in this context is that it provides a basis that's biblical. You know, the prayers and the liturgy are all based on biblical texts, but it allows for a range of expression. So we have the assembly hall service, we have the nave services. Other churches are much more, even more expressive than our assembly hall service. So, but as long as the content is there, people can engage with each other in the where on the spectrum of worship style that they enjoy and that works for them. So we have Christian education, we have small groups, community outreach work and service. We have opportunities to care for other members who are sick, whatever. And then not only do we have opportunities to do that, but we have opportunities to take leadership roles, volunteer leadership roles in that. So, especially in the context of a class like this, with people that are new to the church, these are the outgrowths of the gathering and fellowship that's gospel based, and these flow from that. Nobody thinks about, what do I want to do on Sunday mornings that helps the city? You know, we think, well, what is God calling us to do to serve our neighbors here in thanksgiving and in response to the gospel? Just to go back to one thing. About the church. This is a quote from Bishop Will Willimon. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a Methodist, retired Methodist bishop, and somebody was interviewing him, and he talked about the bad things about the church and the controversies and infighting and all that kind of stuff. And they said, "So, dear Bishop, are we getting worse?" So he replied, "Never thought about it that way. I'd say, if you didn't read the assignments in Church History 101, or if you've never heard Paul rip into one of his congregations, you might be tempted to think that the church is worse off today than in previous ages. We shouldn't flatter ourselves. The church's present sin is not that original. After all, the church is always a mess and always has been. The bride sleeps around, unfaithful from the first. Read Paul's letters. Blame the moral mess of the church, ancient and present, on Jesus. When Jesus decided to save sinners, only sinners, saving them by convening them as his body, the church, well, no wonder the church is a mess." He looks at the present state of his denomination and laments, "Yet, by the grace of God, I'm reminded that we are no better nor no worse than the ragtag saints who came before us, no less recipients of God's mercy, all dependent upon a God who loves sinners, including his poor, battered, compromised bride, the church." So one of the things that we do when we get together is we always come back, as Rita said, and repent. We realize that we are totally dependent on God for everything he's given us, and for the power and the discernment about what we do in community. And we're always constantly going back to him, hearing his gospel and asking for forgiveness and receiving it, and being empowered to go out into the world to love and serve. So, any comments on that? Didn't mean to end on such a downer, but it's a downer. It's not a downer because the good news is that it's not our word and it's not our work. It's God's word and it's God's work. And I think that being connected to a community that reminds us that's our purpose. At least for me, I'm more likely to have that thought if I know that there are other people out there that hope to have that thought too. And for little kids, they have Cocoa Puffs and Fruit Loops and all the stuff that we never fed our children at home. So,
it's really helpful to get them dressed in the morning. Like, there's Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden start getting dressed.
And the Springfields are better than the Greens were because, you know, you said it's easier to get here at 8 for breakfast and then at 9 for church. The Greens were more like, you know, 8:40 for breakfast. But then you're still here. You're in the building at 9 o'clock, which is a really good thing. So, and there are various, you know, some of those are places you can go and not say very much. And some if so, it's not like you're signing on to bare your soul in front of a bunch of people that you've just met necessarily.
Test. No, it's a safe place.
Yeah, yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us community, and we thank you for all the people in here who are part of the community and who are thinking about joining the community. We ask that you would send us out now to be encouraged by what we've heard here this morning in the service and wherever. And that you would bless us and our families. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.